Good Wednesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Vet Voice Foundation.
And I'm Anna Palmer. It's impossible to truly make an informed judgment or assessment about how House Democrats' judiciary hearing with Corey Lewandowski went yesterday, because no one has any idea what the party's end goal is. You have one camp of people, the Democratic leadership, holding out against impeachment, saying that the party would pay a price for impeaching the president, almost no matter what the evidence shows. And another camp, House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, chief among them, which believes the committee and the public have the information they need to begin proceedings to remove the president.
The following things came out yesterday. Lewandowski testified under oath that the president asked him to pass a message to Jeff Sessions about ending the Mueller investigation, something we knew from the Mueller report, but is nonetheless significant when coming from Lewandowski's mouth. Lewandowski also offered a masterclass in declining to answer questions from Congress, raising the specter of obstructing the investigation. Nadler also accused Lewandowski in the White House of a cover-up. Barry Burke, an outside Democratic counsel, was able to paint Lewandowski as dishonest and tripped him up repeatedly during staff questioning tucked at the end of the hearing.
If Democrats were looking to impeach the president or were clear-eyed in what they were trying to accomplish, yesterday would have gone a long way in helping build a case. Some Democrats privately told us that Lewandowski's stonewalling was certainly enough to hold him in contempt. But the party is so deeply divided on what they should do next that it all seemed like a circus without a clear purpose to many Democrats. The question is this: will any of these moments have a crystallizing effect in either direction? Right now, Democratic insiders say 175 of their members would vote for impeachment today on the House floor. Will that ever tick up in the face of a leadership that's looking to tamp it all down?
Right now, Democratic lawmakers continue to work at cross-purpose, so at the moment, many Democrats feel listless, hapless, and lost on this subject. President Donald Trump, meanwhile, has found a strategy with little immediate downside. His aides and former aides are either not showing up for congressional hearings, or in Lewandowski's case, stonewalling and appealing directly to Trump.
Here's how it played. The New York Times reports that Lewandowski confirmed that Trump asked him to help curtail the scope of the Russia investigation, possibly obstructing justice. The Washington Post notes that the Lewandowski show, as they call it, was a performance aimed at an audience of one, President Donald Trump. And Andrew Desiderio and Kyle Cheney note that House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler suggested Lewandowski's refusal to answer questions at the behest of the White House bolsters the Democrats' case for impeachment. Our colleagues Sarah Ferris, Heather Cagle, and John Bresnahan have a must-read out this morning on the tense relationship and widening schism between Jerry Nadler and Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Spotted Corey Lewandowski in the back of Ocean Prime after his Judiciary Committee testimony Tuesday night, and not spotted at the Naval Academy Board of Visitors meeting Monday, Sean Spicer, who was in L.A. for Dancing with the Stars. Kyle Cheney lays out the next fight. The Intel chairman, Adam Schiff, said the nation's top Intel official has refused to turn over an urgent whistleblower complaint, and if he doesn't, the committee could compel him to testify. The Wall Street Journal, meanwhile, reports that the DNI's general counsel wrote Schiff the agency has complied fully with all applicable law, and they're disappointed with the demand for Joseph McGuire to testify.
The New York Times notes that the White House has fired the general counsel for the Department of Homeland Security just months after a major shakeup. In the juice, we've got an item from Morning Score. The DCCC announced it has raised $7.21 million in August, the best off-year August in committee history. The party committee has raised more than $76 million in 2019. And the AP has a story up that Jimmy Carter said he couldn't have managed the presidency at 80. Note, both Bernie Sanders is 78 and Joe Biden is 76, would turn 80 during their first term if elected president.
Here's what's on tap for Trump's Wednesday. The president will deliver remarks at a joint fundraising committee breakfast in L.A. at 11:50 a.m. Eastern Time. Afterwards, he'll head to the U.S. Grant Hotel in San Diego to participate in a roundtable at 3:10, followed by a lunch fundraiser. He'll then head to Otay Mesa, California, where he'll visit the border wall at 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Trump will then fly back to Washington. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
As veterans, we took an oath to protect our country. But now America's public lands are under threat. Our best hope for protecting them is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. This program is critical to preserving sites like the 9/11 Memorial, Gettysburg Battlefield, and more than 42,000 projects across America. For too long, this program has been underfunded, and Congress has allowed our communities and public lands to suffer. Join Vet Voice Foundation in calling on Congress to fully and permanently fund LWCF. We did our duty. Now it's Congress's turn. Visit vetvoicefoundation.org to learn more.